Our great Father God, we slow down to give you praise and thanks that you don't leave us in the dark, you don't leave us orphaned, you don't leave us on the outside, but through Jesus Christ, the good delivering King who came to rescue and restore, you welcome us in. And so this evening, as we talk about something so important and so foundational, how do we respond to this story? We ask that your Spirit presence would be here, just to lead and guide. We pray for our brothers and sisters who cannot be here, those who are sick, those who are traveling. Help bridge the gap, and we look forward to connecting with them when we get back. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as is our habit, an important habit, because you're learning to hold fast onto things, okay? You're learning to let truth shape your heart and shape your mind. You are in a rhythm of memorizing. You're in a rhythm of learning. It's my understanding that Reggie takes the lead at his house, helping everyone learn every single evening. Is that right, Reg? We still doing that? Way to bring it home, big guy. Way to bring it home. So if I were to ask you, okay, who is Jesus Christ? Who wants to answer that for me without looking at their notes? Who wants to go for it? Sonia wants to set an example as the head of the family ministries. So, Sonia, if I were to say to you, who is Jesus Christ? What are some things that you might want to say in response? This is going so well.
Jesus is...
I want you to say the answer.
Okay, the answer is, I remember this.
Would you like to phone a friend?
No.
You sure you don't want to phone a friend?
Yes.
You sure? Because you know what happens, girls, if she doesn't get this, right? Because the deal is, if Sonia doesn't do this, she has to get them drinks from Speedway. He's the what?
The ruling king.
Good, right? Ruling King, no, there's one more. Ruling King, what? Rhymes with domist. The ruling king promised by God two important things.
Rescue and restore the world. I don't know.
All things.
All things.
All things.
Okay, look.
Do you accept that answer? Is that okay? Or does she owe you guys a drink at? Dude, Carmen so wants to make you buy her a drink. She's a show. Oh, Carmen has decided that you don't. Yeah, that sounds. Okay. If I were to say prove that, though, okay? Based on scripture, where does that answer come from? Reggie, can you help us out? Has conquered, right. What, do you remember what book that's from?
Revelation.
Right, your mom's favorite book. Revelation 5, my mom knows 5 part. Yeah, absolutely. All right, so one of the first things that I can understand and I can embrace as I think about the ministry of Jesus Christ and who Jesus was is that first, he's the ruling king, is ruling king. He is. He rules over all things. Does that change the fact that sometimes it doesn't feel like it? Does sometimes chaos creep in the back door? Absolutely, 100%. But the reason that Jesus is effective now is because he's ruling now. It's one of the reasons it's so interesting when Satan takes Jesus out to the wilderness and says, hey, dude, I tell you what, you bow down and worship me and you can have all this. And Jesus says, it's mine already. Like, you're offering me something you don't own. And if we look into the book of Revelation, okay, behold, hey, check it out, spotlight on, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, okay? You think of a war banner going off to war, and they're holding up these giant banners, and this lion on it, the root of David, okay, because the promise came to David, has conquered. It's awesome, okay? Very cool. Did we get it right? Ruling King, yeah, did we get it right? All right. All right, let's keep beating this drum. How is Jesus Christ also the Lamb of God? Porter, can you help us out with that one? Da-ba-dee-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo. What are you doing? You don't need the page. Right, sunshine? Is there anything that you can do to maybe help us move in the right direction? How is he also the Lamb of God?
Can you...
Really close. So very close. It's almost like you read it. I don't want to presume anything, but it sounds almost like you read that word. That's really good. That's really good. Now, okay. Now I'm going to ask you, Porter, can you give me a verse that goes with that without looking down at your book? Now I'll give you a hint. It starts with the same way as the last verse. It also starts, behold. Either, how about from this table? Behold the... Yeah, all right. From, remember what book? Awesome, yeah. So John the Baptist. Jesus is coming, he's beginning his ministry. John the Baptist is out baptizing. Jesus shows up and his declaration is, behold the Lamb of God. Now, why Lamb of God? What does it mean, this spotless sacrifice? What you got, Porter?
Because in the Old Testament, they sacrificed animals
like
lambs.
Okay, can you think of a very specific story where a lamb was the central sacrifice and why it was so important? Go ahead. Moses didn't take away the sins, but Moses, yep, keep going. And what was going on with the people of God? Why was that such an important thing that needed to happen? Can you remember? Moses is good. Someone help connect the dots through the story? What else is going on? Moses and people, why do they need a sacrifice? What about the spotless sacrifice is going to set them free? Do you remember?
The blood.
Blood. Where'd the blood go?
Around the doorframe.
Blood went around the doorframe. So why?
Death would pass
over. This is the final plague, the final judgment when Israel is in Egypt. And so this becomes a central feast for them, the day of Passover, when they remember that that blood was that lamb was sacrificed so that they could go free. And so John is grabbing a hold of that when he sees Jesus show up. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Right? All right, did we do it right? Did we do okay? Anybody own any drinks from Speedway? Dude, Carmen is so cashing in. You better be ready.
No, look,
she did super duper good. She did.
Yeah.
She did. Carmen's got to go next. Oh, I don't know. Grace was extended. Will Grace not be returned?
Grace will be returned, but she can be on the hot spot.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Really, is there any other ways of salvation? No. She said no. Good job. Good job. Okay, but there's a little bit more to that answer. Not just no, but why the no? What the no? Me and Bobby McGee, can you remember?
Oh, gosh.
Can you think of anything else that goes along with that? Jesus is the only one who can what? Thank you. Yes, thank you. All right, so but let me follow up, Bobby McGee. Does it bother you when I say that? You sure? Because I think it's awesome that you are the embodiment of that Janis Joplin song. Because it's also one of my favorite Janis Joplin songs of all time. Me and Bobby McGee. Yeah. Head elder over there is completely shaking his head. I'm so getting fired. Okay. We talk about rescue. We talk about restore. Why? What is it about rescue and restore? Why do those things need to happen? What is it that's wrong?
The world is corrupt.
Corruption. Good.
There's another word too.
Rhymes with beason.
Treason.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Yeah, so let's think about treason and corruption. What's the human condition? Okay, question number two. What's the human condition?
God,
Boom. Well done. Yeah, that's exactly. So when humanity rebels, it is an act of treason. Why is it an act of treason? Yeah, I mean, God is the ruling king. Jesus is the ruling king. So anything contrary to the ruling order is by definition an act of treason. To say, no, we don't like the way that king is doing it. We're going to do it our own way. What else do you call that? Don't you call it?
Revolution.
Yeah, what happens when the revolution doesn't happen, though? They call that treason. Yeah. Right, absolutely, yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, what, you know, English army comes against the American rebels, right, for sedition and treason. But the result of the treason does what to the natural order of things? It invites chaos and corruption. Everything breaks now. Everything breaks now. Everything hurts. Everything is hard, okay? I just got off the phone with one of our members as she is ministering alongside of her sister because her sister's son was just found out in the middle of the field. And he'd probably been there, they don't know how long. And they had to declare that he was brain dead and that there was nothing that they could do to save him. That's not how you want to wake up this morning, right? And they're still trying to figure out what the story is, what the narrative is that led to that moment. But everything is broken. You guys have bumped into brokenness today, right? You're walking in brokenness, right? Brokenness happens. Brokenness happens. But Jesus is the ruling king who promised by God to do what? To rescue and restore. To rescue and restore. Yeah. So if I were to say, prove it, what might we say? You gotta have to do one for her. Got anything? Maybe John 14, Jesus said to him, I am the... drop. Boom. Mic drop. Boom. I just need to say that the younger generation is kind of holding it against the older generation if I were to keep score. But I'm not. I'm just saying. You got it, Sonia? We good? Review? We good? Did we get it all? Ooh, I did a thing where something happened. I don't know what button that was, but it made me nervous, so we're not going to do that again. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus says, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. And what I had introduced last week is each of those words, Jesus' way, Jesus' truth, Jesus' life, becomes the modules for what we're going to talk about in time to come. Okay? After this, we're going to unpack. What? Oh, do you not like that? Why don't you come over here with Bobby McGee? Or go up there. Yeah, that would really bother me, like, hardcore. Yeah. What if we did something like this? You should do this in restaurants all the time, right? Right? Is that any better? I'm the man.
The man.
Built different. That's what Aiden would say. Yeah, I'm just built different. What's that? Built different?
Yeah.
Ohio, we use playing cards.
Turning to Jesus. Okay, we hit question 7, we hit question 8, we hit question 9. Okay, all of this has to take us to a place. You are now accountable for information. Okay, you now know something in how the world is ordered. You now understand something that demands a response. Okay? If I might just use Miss Tiffany as an example, okay? So something has happened to you that demands a response on your part, right? You have to decide one way or the other. Am I going to go get x-rays? Am I going to, you know, I'll be fine without it. But it's, you can't not do nothing, right? Right? We've had now conversations about what you were created to be. What were you created to be, Sonia? Good image bearers of God, who what? Know, love, and yeah. So that's how the story starts, but then something has happened, treason and corruption. But the promise of God in his love for us is that I will save this, I will fix this, I will restore this. Jesus Christ comes. Right? You have to do something with that. You have to respond to that. And so that's what this conversation is all about this evening. What are you going to do with the information that you've been given? Okay? What is saving faith? Okay? What is saving faith? Reggie, that's brilliant.
I know. I just saw him do that.
Well done. Well done. So if I were to ask you that, Carmen's got it covered up. Help me. Let's just talk about this. I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this. Let's talk about, because that's a pretty, those are pretty big churchy words. Faith. What is saving faith? I'd love to hear some thoughts from each table. So, saved by faith through grace alone? You're thinking of that verse in Ephesians. That's good. All right, that's good. But what is it? I agree completely that it is a gift of God's grace. But what is it? Help me understand it, Tiffany. What is faith?
Is it the promise?
Okay.
Eternal life.
Okay. That's what faith leads me to, right? Right? But what is it? Give me the definition of faith. Saving faith, promise, believing. Okay, good. That's a tough one, right? It's one of those words like, all right, give me the definition without using the word in the definition. What's saving faith? Well, you know, it's kind of like faith. Right. Help me out here. Oh, over on this table, can you help us stretch it out? We've got words like promise and grace, believing. Okay. Okay.
And keeping faith in that, so holding strong to the fact that that's where we're headed. That's where we're leading to. I don't know. That's kind of what I thought.
Okay. Okay. We're fleshing that out a little bit more.
Repentance.
Okay. This is awesome. We're going to get to that word specifically in your next question. But yeah, but you, that's on the table. If we're talking about saving faith, we're going to talk about repentance too. That's awesome. What about over here? Ladies, thoughts?
Trusting.
There's a good one. Trusting's good. Believing, promise, grace. Something about saving and rescue and eternal life. Yeah. Come on, anything else you want to add word-wise? Other things that come to your mind? Okay. Porter, anything? Could you give me an example? Could anyone give me an example or that might illustrate someone having faith in something? It's not necessarily have to be a churchy, religious thing. Is there another? When might we have faith in something? Go ahead, Porter. That's okay. Yeah.
Faith in someone that you trust telling you something that you have to follow your faith on to believe in, basically.
Let's use you as an example. All right, if we could do that. You're a good old Navy boy, right? There was probably some point where you weren't in the Navy and then some point that you were in the Navy. And part of your preparation process, your basic training, probably had some water involved. Right? There might have been even some safety measures. Let's say something happens to the boat. There's certain things that you need to be able to do. No doubt you were taught where the PFDs were stored. You were taught how to put a PFD on. You were taught how to put a PFD on your fellow sailor if something happened to him, right? All right. And you were told that you need to have faith in this thing to save you when you hit the water, correct? Correct. Personal flotation device, a life jacket. Class 6, to be specific. Okay?
So I kind of thought of Bessie.
Okay, tell a story. They don't know Betsy.
Okay, so my husband's mom had surgery a few months ago, and just about everything that could go wrong kind of went wrong. And she had this delirium afterwards, and even through all of that, every time like you would get her attention and she focused for just a minute, she would say, "God is on my side."
Mm.
Like she had faith through all of that, that she was going to be okay. And there were moments where we didn't. So I kind of, that is like a faith that is, that was deep.
100%. 100%.
She didn't know who I was.
Right.
She knew God is on my side.
Meaning what? Put that phrase into another term for us. I agree completely. What does it mean to say that God is on my side in that moment? Right, that she has faith. Meaning that God's going to do what? God is on my side, meaning, what's that? Yeah, God's going to take care of this. God's going to take care of this. Me having faith in this life jacket, once my boat's been torpedoed and I'm going into the water, to not have faith in the life jacket means I would do what? What? Sink? I would panic? Would I hold on to the life jacket? No, I'd be like, no, I don't have faith in this. I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to choose something else. So saving faith. Here's a chance for us to write down an answer. Saving faith is giving allegiance to Jesus as creation's rescuing king. Saving faith is giving allegiance. Real important word. To Jesus as creation's rescuing king. Porter, you got that one written down, buddy? You do?
You might have went ahead. Did it a little bit.
Are you kidding me? Did you write down that? Dude, you got, wait for me a little bit. You're taking all my fun out of the job. Okay? Thank you so much. That's awesome that you got it written down. Well done. Well done. We getting it? We getting it? We getting it? We getting it? Okay, so let's unpack some of this. Saving faith, giving allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God. Okay? How many of you say the Pledge of Allegiance? Have to say the Pledge of Allegiance, right? You say the Pledge of Allegiance? You make your homeschooling daughter say the Pledge of Allegiance? Did you write your own Pledge of Allegiance? Like, I pledge allegiance to the House of Brooks. To Daddy Duck. I pledge allegiance to Daddy Duck. We'll talk. What does that mean? What is a pledge of allegiance? What is it? Say, help me understand allegiance. Let's help each other understand allegiance.
Partnership.
Partnership. Okay, good.
Follow.
What's that?
Follow.
To follow. Good. How about like a sports team? What does it mean to have allegiance to your sports team? If you guys have like a sports team that you really like, that you're a big fan of, Tiffany, what you got?
Committed.
Who? You got a sports team?
No.
Bobby McGee?
Yeah, NASCAR.
NASCAR. All right, do you have a car or a driver that you're committed to, allegiant to? Who?
Jeff Gordon.
Okay, so you're a big Jeff Gordon fan back in the day. Awesome, awesome. So to cheer for Jeff Gordon, to be allegiant to Jeff Gordon means you're not going to do what? I'm not going to cheer. I'm not going to somebody else. To have allegiance means my attention and obedience and whatever is on that individual. I'm going to give allegiance to Jesus that he's going to rescue. If I'm giving allegiance to my life jacket's what's going to rescue me. Not that one, not that one. This is going to rescue me. To say that God's got me, right, in the middle of sickness and disappointment and suffering, means I will trust God with the outcome of my situation. To trust, to have faith, to believe. Okay? So this is where this fits in the story. The story starts with a good creation. You were created to be good image bearers of God, who know and live with God, who love and glorify him. Story gets real bad real fast, right? As a result of that human condition, what? We're broken, we're corrupted, we're treasonous. And we need, there's nothing that we can do, is there? The wrath of God is poured out from heaven against all creation. against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, and who through their unrighteousness suppress the truth. These are all things that we've talked about, okay? But God says in his love, I will save you, I will rescue. Jesus, to give allegiance, is to recognize Jesus is the one who's going to fix this. Jesus is the one through whom my treason, I will be rescued from my treason. Jesus is the one who's going to restore me because of the results of sin and death. Okay? It says in Proverbs chapter 3, trust not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Okay? That's the passage that you're going to want to start working through. Okay? Can we all read this together? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I think most of this is probably pretty easy to understand, right? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. So not part of my heart, right? I'm not going to cheer for Jeff Gordon part of the time and then cheer for, I don't know, NASCAR racers. Cheer for, give me a name of another. Okay, yeah. That's not whole heart, right? To say that God got me, but then I'm going to do something else, that's not my whole heart. To have myself wrapped up in one PFD while I've got another one wrapped up over here just in case this one fails does not mean that I'm trusting God with all of my heart. And this is something that we learn. Do not lean on your own understanding. I don't understand that phrase. Help me understand that. Porter. That's really good. That's really good. I can't figure this out on my own. I don't have the capacity. Can I save myself? No, I cannot save myself. God has said, you can't do this. How did the story break in the beginning? What did Adam and Eve say? We got this. We got this. We can do this without you. We can do this without you. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What does that one mean? What does it mean to acknowledge someone? Hi, Doug. How are you? I acknowledge Doug. Is that what that means? In all your ways, acknowledge God, acknowledge Doug. Not that God and Doug are the same person. Let's not make that. Daddy Doug is not God, okay? What does that mean to acknowledge him? What do you guys think? Carmen, what do you think? To know, okay? What's that? Okay, to know who he is. It starts there. It starts there. To talk to him.
During the day, you might just bring up his name and just let him know that you're there, you're thinking of him,
okay,
and that he's in your heart. That's what you're thinking.
You were going to say something, Tiffany.
Just to have him in all aspects of your life.
In all aspects? Okay. Let's imagine, if you will, that Doug is brilliant. He is in all areas of life. And this is true. Okay, and let's just, Carmen was like, this is not true at all. Pastor Paul, you're making my drive home very difficult. Did you hear what Pastor Paul said about me? He said I was brilliant, make sure you tell your mom. Let's just say that I want to bake a cake. And imagine, if you will, that Douglas is very good at baking cakes. Okay, he's very, very good at baking cakes. Cakes made out of Pop-Tarts specifically. He loves Pop-Tart cakes. Okay, I would like to make a Pop-Tart cake, okay? To acknowledge him is to say, hey, Doug, I don't know how to do this. How do I do this? And then I follow Doug's instructions. To not acknowledge Doug is to say, I want to bake a Pop-Tart cake. I can do it on my own. Acknowledge him. He will make straight your paths. The road to life is twisted, and it's corrupt, and it's broken. Okay? Oh, the difference it makes when you know the lay of the land, right? The road is not quite so dangerous. You know where the bends are. You know when the weather's coming. As God has said, hey, this is what's coming up, or watch out for that, or consider this. Read this with me again. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Okay, so does that mean that God will tell me everything I need to know about every situation I'm ever going to go through and every problem I'm ever going to face? I was like, wow, is she really going to make it awkward there for a second? Yep, God tells me everything I need to know about everything. Boys, just agree with her. Disagree. Talk to me. Does this mean that God's going to tell me everything I need to know? Does it mean that at times in your life, you're going to face trials and difficulties, and God doesn't give you the answer? Not right away. Or maybe not at all in your life. You might carry some questions with you forever, as far as this life is concerned. There is an aspect of mystery. There is an aspect of mystery. But imagine, if we will, you and I are hiking the Appalachian Trail. Okay? I've never done it. You've done it a gazillion times. A gazillion times. And even if I have done it a few times, there's still going to be things along the path that you're able to point out to help me see that I will learn, and I will learn about you, and I'll learn about the path as we hike it together. Mystery means that there's room to learn. Does that make sense? Are there questions about that? Sonia, we good? Mm-hmm. Clear as mud? About as confused as a termite in a yo-yo? Yeah. All right. No? I had a professor in college who was my homiletics professor, which is, homiletics is the art of writing a sermon. It's called homiletics, okay? And so he's teaching us as young-to-be pastors on how to write sermons. And so he'd give you a passage, and you'd learn, all right, I have step one, step two, this is how you create a sermon, this is how you craft the introduction, this is how you put points together, this is how you develop the research and all that thing. And there'd be times where he'd be like, Paul, I got to be honest, I'm about as confused as a termite in a yo-yo right now. After your sermon, which is never a good thing. That is just not good at all. If the professor tells you he's more confused than before you started talking, I'm like, great, I certainly bombed this one. I get those faces from people. I got some faces from those people still this morning, right? I'm talking and I'm looking, I'm like, I bet you he's about as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. What? What's that?
We ask you a question, and your roundabout answer makes us feel like that term.
What? I don't give you all the answers?
Corgi.
She told you about the corgi legs?
No, like seriously, like you ask, if I ask a question, you ask me a question.
No. Yeah. What's wrong with that?
No.
It's biblical. Jesus did it. You just want the answer. Well, guess what? Guess what God does not give you most of the time?
A parable. He gives you a parable all the time. It's not directly.
Or the book of Revelation, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I need to know how this thing's going to end. Here's the book of Revelation. You're like, what? I'm more confused now than before I even started. Yeah. Yeah. Saving faith. Saving faith, okay? Is me recognizing that Jesus Christ is my rescuer. He is my redeemer. He is my savior, and I'm going to give allegiance to him. I don't have all the answers, but I'm with him. I'm with that guy, and he can help me, and we'll do this together, okay? Going to want to get that in your head and get that into your heart. All right, we need to take it one more step, okay? What is repentance? I'm going to start out with Bobby McGee because you're the one who threw this salvo across the bow, okay? See what I did there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nautical stuff. What's that? Oh, Porter, I think you're awesome. Yeah, you and Mr. Adam are going to have to work through that. Okay, what is Mr. McGee?
I look at repentance as being like you're
with one allegiance and you change to the other.
Like, okay.
You follow an idol, but then that ain't right, so you're going to turn to Jesus.
That's really, really good. That's really, really good. 100% good. Other thoughts on that? You guys understand what Mr. Mingy had said? Keyword turn. Someone else. Repentance. What is do you want a chair or something else to get that up elevated?
Okay.
He's not little. He's a big, strapping young man, Mom. Don't be throwing Reggie under the bus like that. Just don't bump your mom's foot, Reg. Oh, yeah. I believe that. Guys, help us over on this table. Hold on, Porter. Over on this table. Cover that up, you little cheater. Help me understand repentance a little bit. What comes to your mind? Repentance. Got anything? That's a tough one. That's okay. Ryan? To change direction. Okay. Turn from bad habits to repent. Yaya? Ask for forgiveness? Okay. I think Bob did a great job. Let's you guys have it in front of you. But let's read this answer together, okay? Repentance is turning from one kingdom to the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his way of life. We need God's help to make this change. Okay? I know there's a lot to write there, but it's very, very important that we get this written down. Let's start to get this into our heart and mind. A follower of Jesus Christ needs to get what repentance is and what repentance is not. Repentance is turning from one kingdom to the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his way of life. We need God's help to make this change. Give everyone a chance just to make sure that they have that down. Yeah. Porter, are you okay?
Yeah.
All right. The man thirsts. Let him drink.
Where's your mama?
Oh. Don't. Not the red one. Don't. Just, there you go. Push that button. There you go. Good job. There you go.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah. Don't drink it before you get it there. Yeah, we cleaned that tray out. That's what was stinking last week.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. It was bad. I have to confess, I didn't clean it.
Okay.
I was just the boss who had someone else clean it out. I'm like, this is bad. Let me put it in the sink and walk away from it. Repentance. Turning from one kingdom to another kingdom. Okay. So before we even talk about Jesus's kingdom, we can apply that in lots of areas of life. Let's just use the sports metaphor as an example. Okay, let's say that you're a diehard Bengals fan. Okay? Yeah, I know. It's okay. I pray for them. And then all of a sudden, Anna and Gene wake up the next morning and says, you know what? From now on, we're going to cheer for the Steelers. Okay? I want you to go home and tell your parents that I said that. Okay? They'll never let you come over to our house again. Probably. That's repentance. We're going to turn from an allegiance to, because what it means to be allegiant to, let's just use the sports team, okay, we put cookies on the bottom shelf. That means we're going to wear their stuff and we're going to watch their games and we might go to their events and we might do the things that fans of that sports teams do. But if we're going to repent and become Steelers fans, that means, which is what all God's children should do, that means that we're going to leave all of that behind. And now we're going to follow that kingdom. and cheer on Coach Tomlin and watch those games, okay? Now multiply that out 1,000 times 1,000 times 1,000. Knowing now what you know about corruption and the treason of our own hearts, everyone has to come to a place in their life, okay, where they say, I'm not following my kingdom. I'm not going to follow false kingdoms. I'm not going to follow false systems. I'm going to turn to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's my king. And his way of life. Meaning, I'm going to do what he told me to do. He said, you know, there's a way that we talk to each other. Let's do that. He said, you know what? There's a way that we treat our bodies. Let's do that. He said, there's a way that we think about money. He said, there's a way that we treat our enemies. Let's do that. That following Jesus Christ is just that. It's a following. Not a followed. I followed. I'm following, which means I'm doing it now. I don't just do it on Sundays for 1 hour. It now is my life. His way of life. We need God's help to make this change. Because we can't do it ourselves, can we? Can you save yourself, Carmen? Can you save yourself? No. Reggie, can you save yourself? No. Why? What do we know about our hearts now? They are treasonous and they're corrupt. Okay? I can't do it. Using your mom as an example, the beautiful thing about the skeletal system and the recovery systems that God has built into mom's body, there's a real good chance, providing that everything's okay, that it might be able to mend on its own. An x-ray would kind of give us some perspective on, you know, if that's possible or not, or is it going to need a little bit of extra, but it's possible that that could heal on its own, right? It's a beautiful thing, beautiful, beautiful thing that God has built into our bodies. Its capacity in many cases to heal and restore itself. But we are talking about a spiritual depravity, a spiritual brokenness, a spiritual corruption, a spiritual treason. And I can't save myself. I need a rescuing king who will take all that upon himself, who will rescue and restore the creation he loves. What this might look like, okay? And what I need you to, let's read this verse and then we'll unpack this, okay? This is from Acts chapter 2, verses 38. Read with me. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, 38, okay? Repent, that's the word that we're talking about. Baptize, we're going to get to that in a little bit. Some of you have been baptized already, okay? In the name of Jesus Christ, for what? For the forgiveness of sins. Think of the washing away of corruption. Think of the removing of the treason. Think of a healing medicine that goes and surges into a body to remove that disease. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we'll talk about next week, okay? If you would, go to the back of the section that you're in right now, okay, right before the tab that says Life of Jesus, you're looking for the sheet that says, I must turn to Jesus. Okay, Porter, can you help me find this in your book?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, right before that. Yep, it's the last thing in that module. Keep going. You're good. Keep going. Yep. I must turn to Jesus. Almost there. And boom, money, mic drop. What's that? Yep. What does that look like if we're going to unpack that? Okay. These are what is involved in this decision. Every human being at a point in their life needs to either make this decision or to decide not to make this decision. Okay. But everybody decides. Everyone decides. Not deciding is a decision, isn't it? To not decide, that's a decision. Okay. Confessing our sins, being specific, having a conversation with Jesus. We're going to talk about, Jesus, these are the things that I know that I have done that have brought about corruption and treason in my life. How I've talked to my mom. How I treated a coworker. How I did whatever it might be that further broke your creation that you love, was a further example of my own treason. Each of us would be a little bit different in how we specified and talked about our sinfulness. But what's important is we come before King Jesus and we talk specifically about our sinfulness. We thank him for his mercy and his forgiveness. Jesus, thank you that despite my treason and my corruption, you forgive me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you heal me. Promising to follow and obey him. Jesus, you have a way of life. I commit to following that way of life. Okay? I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help me be faithful and grow in maturity. I'm going to publicly declare allegiance through baptism. This is what baptism is all about. I think for the most part, everyone has experienced baptism in some way or another, either as an infant or as an adult. Is that right? Yes? Yes? No? Okay. I think you have. Oh, you have a question. This isn't about Stalin or Lenin, is it?
What about a minor?
About what?
A minor.
What about a minor?
You said infant and adult. What about a minor?
Oh, okay. I appreciate that. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah, it was a choice. It was your own decision. It was your own volition. So as you know, you made that one. I was present. I had a chance to see that real up close and personal. Yeah. Yep. That's how baptism fits into the narrative, into the story. Okay. As baptized as an infant, one of the things that you'll need to rescue with, and this is why in your mom and your dad's tradition, they talk about confirmation. Confirmation as that public moment of declaration. I am choosing my faith. Okay. Baptism is how I am confirming my allegiance to Jesus Christ. Okay? Okay? But before you get to that baptism moment, that confirmation moment, to have and talk about that prayer. And so what we did in your notes is to provide an example of what that prayer might sound like, might look like on the bottom of the page. Okay? Let me read it for you. Parts of it might sound familiar with you. I confess that I've sinned against you in thought. Can you be treasonous in your thoughts? Well, yeah. Can you be treasonous in your words? Can you be treasonous in your deeds? Yeah, completely. Especially, and this is where you talk about your areas. I am truly sorry and I humbly repent. Thank you for forgiving my sins and through the death of your Son, Jesus. I turn to you. I give you my life. Fill and strengthen me with your Holy Spirit to love you, to follow Jesus as I fellowship with other followers, and to become more like Jesus each day. Amen. Now, what each of you will need to discern is, okay, have you had that moment in your life? Okay. So, thank you, Porter. Okay. Some of you, I was present when you made that decision. I was in your living room with you, right? You remember? We had that moment of prayer, and I was with Bobby McGee, and he went from following one kingdom of self to following the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And you prayed, and I guided you through that moment. And then, yeah, and then you came forward, and you were baptized afterwards. You know, Sonia could tell the story of being in a life group moment and realizing that, you know what? I went to church my whole life, and I did lots of churchy things, but I don't know that I ever made that moment of decision of allegiance. And you and God kind of wrestled for a while, didn't you? Could you talk just a little bit, could you share the story just a little bit for people, just in a couple minutes?
Okay, so at life group, we were
sharing their salvation story.
It's like 6-7 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, a long time ago. And like we were still at the barn.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't have that. I just did it because I was told it was time to do that. And I think I knew what I was doing, but it was head knowledge, not heart knowledge. I did it because I was
That's a good way. Head knowledge versus heart. It's good.
Yes. And so that night I went home from life group and I was like, God, seriously? Have I not done this? Have we never had this talk? Am I doing all this wrong? And I started like reading, like I had not jotted down every verse that they were like talking about and this Romans road and sinner's prayer. Like they talked about all these things. And I read them all. And then I was sitting on the couch and I was just praying. And I was like, God, you got to have me. Like I thought that I was done with this. And I was just praying and praying and praying. And all of a sudden, and girls, you just know, the goosebumps were all over me. And I just heard God say, I got you. And it was the most, I was crying and my ears were hot. Like y'all don't even know, like I couldn't breathe right.
Oh, you're really selling it, girl.
No, it was a whole moment.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not kidding. Like,
that's beautiful.
Like a feeling that I have never had before.
Yeah.
And so to tell it, like, my hair is standing up.
Yeah.
Like, I just get those feelings in my head and everything just to tell that story. And then, like, it took me a minute. You know, Bill was like, Sonia, if you don't want to go back to life group, we don't have to go. I'm bawling and I'm crying and I'm sitting there reading. And he's like, gosh, was it that bad? Like, we don't have to go back. And, it took me about 2 weeks before I got enough nerve to tell Pastor Paul what had happened. And I think he thought that I was calling to complain about something. And I had this story to tell him. And he's like, oh, thank you for that. Do you remember?
I do, 100%. Because I also watched you in life group. I'll never forget that. I could see it in your face, in your eyes, that it wasn't what you thought it was, and you were having a moment with the Holy Spirit where all of a sudden all these things were colliding in your heart and in your mind. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah.
I had done something that I hadn't done and didn't realize that I hadn't done it right.
Yeah.
Or hadn't done it.
Not didn't do it right. You hadn't done it. Yeah. You hadn't made that point of commitment and confession. And you hadn't said, I'm leaving that kingdom to follow this kingdom. Yeah, Porter, what you got, buddy? Because we're going to tie it all together.
I really have to use the restroom.
You are excused. Thank you. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. Are you good on your own? Okay.
I just had that moment when I was 12.
Yeah.
Like, you just get those goosebumps. And then I remember leaving the room because I did it at church.
Yeah.
I remember leaving the room. I was like, I love everyone.
Yeah. Right. No, because this is a transformation. And what we're going to talk about next week is some of the aspects of what is that transformation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But what I need you guys to start working through, and your mentor is going to get a hold of you this week, is going to ask you some of those questions. Okay. Do you feel that you've made that decision at some point in your life? Now, some of you might say, you know what? I'm not really crazy about the whole thing that you're talking about. I'm not ready for that, okay? Maybe something like this would be helpful, okay? And this is in the bottom of your page, okay? The bottom of your page. We're talking about, you know, not ready for this decision because it's a decision. Then maybe a prayer like this could be helpful for you this week, okay? Let me just read it for you. Oh God, please reveal yourself to me. Draw near to me as I seek you. Open my eyes to see your truth. Show me those things in my mind and heart that keep me from faith in you. Help me to know and trust Jesus Christ and lead me to those people who can help me as I seek to know you. Okay? So if you're not ready for that, maybe this is a good place to start, okay? If you are, what I want you to do over the next few days is start to wrestle with some of those things and ask those questions. And your mentor will be ready when you guys talk on the phone. Maybe you're ready to make that decision and they'll help you in prayer. Maybe you've made that decision, but it's also time to take it public. Okay? Okay? Because repent and be baptized. Okay? You can't be a secret follower of Jesus Christ. It doesn't work. Okay? Giving allegiance means that the enemy also knows who you play for. And if baptism is anything, it's really that. We put a flag in the ground and we say, I am no longer following that kingdom. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Okay? Any questions as we talk about this and as we say goodnight? Reggie, any questions? Clear as mud? Termite in a yo-yo? Shaylee, any questions?
I have something just to add. Like, I have thought this more than once, and then when she just added her story, think about where I would, or where I could be right now if I didn't have that night in that life group, where I was confronted with, what if I didn't do it right?
What if you didn't do it?
What if I didn't do it?
Yeah.
So my thing to all of you younger people, especially, like, when you have the opportunity to hear about God and be a part of what's going on, be a part of it, because you don't know what you could possibly be missing out on. And you were at church and you heard it at church and you did it. And if you hadn't been there that day, where would you have been? What could it have been?
Next Sunday.
Right. But yeah, you're like, exactly. Like, I didn't know what I didn't know.
Right.
I think that goes back with what you were talking about. You have to share both sides of the story. So you don't follow this path, you will go down this path.
Oh, yeah. It's just not, if you don't go down this path, you're going to go down that one. I much rather go down the path where the Lord Jesus makes my path straight. I much rather go down the path, as painful and as hard as it is, the path of restoration and the path of rescuing and the path of forgiveness. Oh, and it is hard. But it's temporary. Amen. Well said. Absolutely. Absolutely. If you make that decision, on the back of the sheet, you'll see that there's things like next steps. I would love to know if you're just making that decision for the first time, or maybe this week. Hey, call me up, let me know, tell your mentor. I'd love to be a part of the celebration and helping you move forward, okay? Okay? There is a Hope Project opportunity I want to make you aware of. If you're still thinking about what you're going to do for your first project here in May and June, on May 20th, okay, up in Sydney in the morning, I think it's like from 9 to noon, Agape is going to be out on the square handing out toys and I think food to people. Who are in need and would like that, and they need some volunteers. And it's a real easy way to be out in the community and to serve others. So it's a great thing to do with families. I'm throwing that out there. I'll also throw that information out to your mentors. But remember, part of your process is head, heart, hands, hands that serve, hands that love. Here is an easy way to engage. Again, that's May 20th. They're looking for volunteers. Let me know if you would like to participate in that. I'm pretty sure that I'll be up there with Jackson and maybe some others. We're just handing out toys to kids. I think there's going to be food resources as well. Okay? Okay? Why don't we stand and then we'll close in prayer. And then you guys got to figure out what honey sticks you're going to get. What have we ruled out? What have we, everyone decides? There's a general consensus that the cinnamon is not very good.
I like it.
Oh, okay. She likes the cinnamon.
Blackberry
was very good. Porter, we haven't prayed yet, buddy. So why did you put... My friends, let me pray for you and pray over you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you with thanksgiving. Thank you how you rescue and you restore. Jesus, would you please help us by the power of your Holy Spirit this week to wrestle with the things that we've been challenged with saving faith, with giving allegiance to you, with repentance, with turning from one kingdom to your kingdom. Help us. Do we need to verbalize that? Is that a decision that we need to make? Is that a decision that we have made in the past? Is that a decision that we're not ready to make today, but we ask your help? Please give our mentors guidance. Please speak to us through the power of your Spirit, because everyone needs to decide. I thank you for my friends. I ask your blessing and keeping upon them. In your name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Everyone have a great week. Don't forget your honey sticks.